This is a HeadGum Original.
Vroom, vroom, beep, beep. Welcome to the pit wall.
It was fast. We're on a time limit.
We're on a time limit today. I'm recording from home. The studio is just so full right
now.
Hey,
same. That's also why I'm at home.
And you know, we just record so many podcasts that we even have to do it from home.
At least during work hours.
During work hours, of course. And today's podcast is about Formula One. It's the pit wall. You're listening to it.
Yeah. Because it's not like a radio. They chose to. You chose.
Yeah, this isn't like a radio. What if we start a podcast radio station?
I'm listening.
Yes, you're listening to the radio station of podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We get some DJs, some shock jocks.
Yeah, this is a great idea. Let's talk to Marty about it. Hey, welcome to the pit wall. This is a Formula One podcast for casual fans. I'm your podcast principal, Casey Donahue. I'm joined today. Checking the notes. It is a blank
every
space.
Time, every time. I'm not here.
I'm joined today by Marika Brownlee.
Hey.
And that's it. The only other person I know who watches Formula One.
Yeah. Although Pyle did text us at 3 a.m. saying he was awake and turned on the race.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is crazy. I was yes. awake because I had been watching the race.
You know, he's got 2 new babies.
Sure.
As everything I know about being a parent is you're going to be up in the middle of the night.
I guess that's true. But it's crazy that he wanted to continue being up to watch a little bit of Formula One.
Yeah, I wish we could talk to him about it, but he's not here.
We don't know where he is.
We don't know where he is.
He's probably camping out to see the eclipse somehow.
Yeah, he's been real up to date on the goings on of this eclipse. And
let me tell you, I have not been. And that's why I spent 2 hours this morning running around Queens trying to find glasses to no avail. But everyone in the office has them. And now I can't go into the office.
It's not as big of a deal here in Los Angeles.
Right. You're not even close to the totality.
We've
got 90% coverage, and it's a clear day, so I think it's going to be great, but ultimately I can't look at it directly.
No.
Which is stupid.
But you could do a pin box camera. Ugh. You know, you could like open up, you could take a box of Lucky Charms and turn that into a little
yeah, but it's not looking
thing.
At the sky.
I agree. I think that's why I was trying
to find the glasses. I called so many libraries this morning because they were giving out glasses. All of them didn't have anymore. But one of them was like, you can look online to see safe ways to watch the eclipse. And I was like, yeah, thanks for nothing.
I would suggest
B&H has the longest line. Apparently they were selling them.
They're selling
them.
Like,
yeah. For like $2.99. And I was right there yesterday. I should have just gone. I forgot when the eclipse was until I got home.
I'd be all about it if we had totality here, but we don't. And then I saw a TikTok where a guy was explaining, like, well, when will there be a total eclipse in Los Angeles? Not until the year 3000.
Not much has changed, but we live underwater.
Yes. That's what it'll be like. Mm-hmm. When there's an eclipse in LA will be under the sea.
Yeah. Also, to be clear, those are the lyrics to Year 3000 by the Jonas Brothers. I guess that's a cover, right?
Wait, really?
Yeah.
L.A. Will Be Under the Sea is a lyric to this, well, to a no, Jonas Brothers song?
Okay, yeah. Well, Year 3000 was originally by a band called Busted. Jonas Brothers have a famous cover of it, and the lyrics are, "Not much has changed. I've been to the Year 3000. Not much has changed, but we live underwater, and your great 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 granddaughter is doing fine." Those okay. are the lyrics.
All right. The only Jonas Brothers lyrics I know are, "I want to eat cake by the ocean."
That's DNCE ultimately. But that's just but Joe Jonas.
But there is one there.
There is
one of
there
them
is
there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could. This is. Hey, look. It's by a British pop rock band called Busted. So,
all right,
it's their lyrics.
I'll take it up with them. But we're not here to talk about the eclipse.
No,
we're here to talk about the Japanese Grand Prix, the Formula One Japanese Grand Prix of 2024. That's what we're here to do today.
A confusing race to watch at 1 a.m. after you've seen two different musicals in the same day.
Yes, okay.
Which is how I watched it.
Yes, I watched this race after a day birthday party, followed by a dinner with friends. And then I
pretty
get
solid.
Home. I get home. I'm like, time to watch a car race at 10 o'clock at night. This is perfect.
A perfect time to watch one of those.
And I tell you, I won't spoil anything. I'll go through my notes. But I'll tell you right now, very hazy about this race. This race
was a dream.
I would say. A dream race, so to speak.
Hey, if it was a dream for you, imagine what it was for me. I was probably truly asleep for parts of it.
Let's go through the results of this race. We'll start, as always, with the teams that didn't score any points. First up, Alpine. 0 points. Pierre Gasly got 16th. Esteban Ocon got 15th. Oof. Yikes. Williams, 0 points. Logan Sargeant got 17th. But ultimately is last in the race because Alex Albon did not finish.
Yeah.
There was a few others that did not finish.
And we'll talk about it, but Albon's crash was crazy.
I'm trying to remember Albon's. Oh yes,
it's the first thing that happened.
Yes, it was the very first thing that happened, and I believe that I thought, there goes Logan. Oh, it's a Williams. This is Logan crashing into the wall.
Yeah, and my reaction was, oh, there's an RB. There goes Daniel Ricciardo. And I was right. Or actually, it was like, I really hope this isn't Yuki because that would be really sad.
Yeah.
And then it was not.
Yeah. Haas, 0 points. Nico Hülkenberg got 11th. Kevin Magnussen got 13th. Kick Sauber, 0 points. Zhou Guan Yu did not finish. And I don't know why. I don't remember what happened to him.
I believe he had to retire the car.
Oh, because it's a piece of junk? Okay. Valtteri Bottas got 14th. Into the points we go. I was going to say Red Bull, but it's RB. They got 1 point. Daniel Ricciardo did not finish. Yuki Tsunoda got 10th in Japan.
Woo.
Love to see it.
Hometown boy done good, as they said about Logan Sargeant at the Miami GP a year ago.
Is that where he scored his point in Miami?
No. They just, as an intro, they just said hometown boy done good.
Yes. Yes, I almost forgot about the insane intro to that race. Can't wait to see what happens this year. at the spectacle that is the Miami GP. Aston Martin, 8 points. Lance Stroll got 12th. Fernando Alonso got 6th. And Lance Stroll really had a shining moment on the radio.
He really did.
Mercedes, 8 points. George Russell got 7th. Lewis Hamilton got 9th. Oh, my own.
Is that Italian?
Yeah.
Just testing it out.
Man, what happened to these guys?
The reason that I stayed up to watch this race was because at the beginning, after the red flag, I was like, there is a solid chance that I could watch Lewis Hamilton win a race tonight. There's a possibility of that happening now. And then it quickly became apparent that it was a lie.
No, not even close. Oh boy. Hey, I just get him in that Ferrari already.
And I feel if you're bad for him.
Somebody out of a Ferrari, maybe you kick out Charles Leclerc. Anyway, moving on.
Wow.
To McLaren, 14 points. Lando Norris got 5th. Oscar Piastri got 8th. With 27 points, Ferrari. Charles Leclerc got 4th. Carlos Sainz got 3rd. Another podium for the smooth operator.
Which he deserves it.
I believe they said at the end of the race, every race he has been in this year, he's podiumed.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
That's right. You're gonna take him out of the car.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve this.
You're gonna take him out of a Ferrari and put him into a Haas?
They would never. He wouldn't do that. He's smarter than that.
And first place, Red Bull. Max Verstappen got 1st, plus fastest lap. Checo Perez got 2nd. Whoop-de-doo.
Nah.
The downfall of the sport. At least in America.
Well, here's what was interesting. At the beginning of the race, I think it was probably Crofty that said that there's like 5 drivers that at the end of this race could lead the championship, like because of Max's last race that opened up the possibility of that even happening, which is huge.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
Oh yeah. It was so exciting in Australia. Yeah. We're sitting here talking about, oh, we're back. We're back, yeah. Now we're back again. Mm-hmm. Once again,
now we're back again. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like it's. I don't know. It's not like he's so far ahead right now, which is good. I think the order of drivers points wise is still him, Checo. Oh, weirdly, Charles is above Carlos. Which feels crazy.
I mean, you get a lot of points in one race. You know?
Charles did?
I would assume. The race that Carlos wasn't at, what position did he?
Ultimate. Yeah, you're right. I forgot he fully was not in a car.
Yeah, Carlos wasn't in a car, and I would guess Charles got like 14 points or something like that.
Yeah. Oliver Bearman, 6 points in 12th right now in the Drivers' Championship.
Far, far ahead of Pierre Gasly and...
Yeah.
Does everyone... Esteban doesn't have any points, right?
Esteban doesn't have points. The people that don't have points are Albon, Zhou, Ricardo, Ocon, Gasly, Bottas, and Sargent. Everyone else has points.
Wow.
Both Haases have points.
Wow.
Big deal.
Yeah. I'm going to go through my notes. as I watched the race live, which I never, you know, here in America, there's only like six races that I get to watch live here on West Coast time. That isn't me watching a race at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So the first note I have, love a 10 p.m. live race. I felt like I was a part of something.
So much build up for that.
I love putting on the race and it's like, wow, they're really doing this right now. I didn't have to avoid looking Spoilers. At TikTok. And Twitter. Oh, I don't really look at Twitter.
It's
anymore.
A nice feeling. I think I just don't like when races are past 12 p.m. Eastern time. I like the ritual of the 9 a.m. morning race. I have my whole day ahead of me afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I ultimately should not have stayed awake until 3:30 in the morning. But it all worked out okay. I watched SNL, and then after got to 12:45 p.m., I switched over to the race. It's great. Good night.
Yeah. A good night if you stay awake.
Yeah. And on SNL, I sent a photo. There was a sketch that took place at a go-kart track. And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's
what
like
a coincidence. Yeah.
It's like they knew. My next note, red flag. We got a red flag on the first lap.
Like I said, a crazy shunt, if you will. Albon's car ended up like under a pile of tires. Like you couldn't see his car.
Yeah, I'm trying to rewatch it in my brain. I'm trying to rewatch the memory of what happened in my brain right now.
It was a quote unquote racing incident, an incident. Basically, Daniel
Ricardo, yeah.
Yes, he was
Albon.
In front of Albon and was looking to his left to check to see if anyone was like coming that way. And as he did that, Albon was moving towards his right side to go past.
Yes.
And they bumped like
ever so gently.
Like back left tire to front. Like back right tire to front left tire, and then they just went
a little
sliding
bump,
off.
And then they just go spinning out crazy. Hey, that's open wheel racing for you.
But Albon's car went under the tire wall. Like you could see Ricardo getting out of the car, and then I was like, oh, like I don't even see where the other car is.
Yeah.
And then eventually Albon got out. But his onboard camera was like, he went into the wall and then tires just went flying towards his face.
Yeah.
So pretty big crash.
A big crash.
And a red flag.
Both guys are all right.
Of course.
Again, I thought it was Logan Sargeant who crashed. It was not.
But it was that car, right? His car that Albon took over. His chassis, if you will.
The car that crashed was Logan's car?
I think.
That's another point I want to bring up. Williams is a mess. This team is an absolute disaster. They have one car.
Yeah.
They didn't have a backup chassis for the last race, so Logan didn't race. And so was Logan driving the repaired Alex Albon car?
Okay, no. So here's what happened at the Japanese Grand Prix. FP1, Logan Sargeant crashes into a wall. And he's out for FP2 because Williams is repairing the car. The chassis could be used again, which was the problem for Albon back in Australia. But Sargeant had to revert back to like older specs, like a version without upgrades because they only had one set of their upgrade package. Mm-hmm. And then Albon ran that upgrade package in Sunday's race, but most of it was ripped off of the car after the first lap. Mm-hmm. So now they have no updates and probably won't be able to get those parts in time for the next race, which I believe is this weekend.
And yet I still feel like they're doing better than Alpine.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have points, but I would also agree that I feel that way. Like, I mean, Albon got 15th, 11th, and 11th, and then DNF'd this race. Ocon has gotten like 16, 13, 16, 15, and I'm sure that Pierre is like right there. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Williams is like maybe up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Which I like, I just don't understand if they don't have money or how long these things take. It says that if Albon's car is repairable, they'll have a second car ready but for China. But if the chassis is damaged, they would only have one available, as Vols recently said the third chassis wouldn't be ready until Miami.
Wow. And this is like their full-time job, right? This isn't like they're hosting a podcast about Formula One where they like kind of fit it into their busy schedule. This is like what they do. This is only what they do.
There's like a factory of people that make
that
these.
Do this.
Yeah.
Like Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be working on this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, then there's also like the budget cap to consider. But I don't know. This feels like, it doesn't feel like they've crashed so many cars already that it should be a problem they're coming up against, but maybe they have, and I just haven't realized. I don't know.
Me neither. It's, I guess I can't wait for the Drive to Survive episode next year about this.
Yeah.
Next in my notes, I have Bottas overtakes Ocon, sick. Perez overtakes Lewis, sick. My next note after that, I want to ride the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I love how all of these, or not all of them, but a lot of tracks have Ferris wheels, and I've never been on one, but I think, like, Le Mans has a Ferris wheel.
I feel like they're at almost every race, there's a big Ferris wheel.
Yeah, and then there's something going on at Nürburgring that looks like a roller coaster to me, but it probably isn't, but it should be. I think there should be a roller coaster that follows the track, and
oh,
then
that'd be cool.
You can go with all the cars. Yeah.
And what if it's a dueling coaster?
Yeah.
Like you're racing each other and you're racing the cars.
That's really good.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we could career pivot and maybe design some coasters for race car
tracks. For race car tracks. Yes,
that's
got to
be a job, right?
My next note, I'm tired.
Hey, so was I. Boy, was I. My friend who recently got into Formula One went to a like watch party at a bar. And I was like, and was on the East Coast. And I was like, I can't imagine having to be outside of my home right now for this.
I love
but I was outside of my home all day.
There's a group in LA called West Coast Formula One that they do events when there is a race that is, you know, like a 10 p.m. race. We go to a bar, fill a bar with people. I haven't been because it's like kind of like a West Side thing. And it's like, am I really going to drive across town in L.A. traffic to watch a race with a bunch of literally a bar full of strangers?
Yeah, I've done it once. I've done the bar watch situation once, and it wasn't terribly enjoyable. Mostly because the bar was on a busy street, we were in outdoor seating, and people just kept walking by and then stopping to look at the TV, and then everyone that was sitting to watch the race was like, "Can you fucking move?" It was like by Madison Square Garden, so just a ton of tourists. Like, oh my god, it's so dumb.
Yeah, haven't been out, but you know, hey, I had a real long, fruitful day socializing with friends. I wanted to go home and watch the race, and guess what? I was starting to get a little tired around midnight. My next note, Perez overtakes George, LOL.
Yeah, this was when Mercedes hard tires were starting to be a problem, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing with Mercedes was that they decided they were the only team after the red flag that decided to stay on hards and see if they could potentially go for a one-stop strategy for a track that is notoriously very hot and is notoriously a two-stop race.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they had been able to pull that off, that was the moment where I was like, they could be on the podium if they accomplished this, if the tires worked to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did not. Mm-hmm. Do that at all. And also, George ended up passing Lewis in what I thought was a good radio message from Lewis at one point. He was like, should I let George pass, even before it came up over the team radio?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was clear that he was going a little bit faster. And then I guess after the race, Lewis was like, I couldn't turn the car. So they're kind of a mess, man. Over there. It was really hard to watch. I was like, holy shit, this could be huge. Like, this could really change the entire strategy of the race for all the teams if suddenly, like, they're pulling ahead from only a one stop. But
I can't
they eventually
imagine,
did a two stop.
I can't imagine what it must be like to be Lewis Hamilton, to be like the guy in this sport. In the past 2 years, he's been struggling because the car stinks. And I gotta say, he's gotta have some real good patience, because I never really see him like fly off the handle or the car has been bad for so long now that he's still like very calm. He's very like patient about leaving the team. I mean, he's leaving the team, but you never really see him go like this is bullshit and throwing his helmet or whatever.
He's very, very well media trained. And you can tell when he's really mad when he does an interview where he's like, yeah, I don't like smiling, just like it is what it is.
Uh-huh.
That's when he really shows it, I think.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see him in a fast car. But then I also, you know, the dumb thing about this sport is I keep seeing people talk about, well, there's going to be new car regulations in 2026. As if to say, Red Bull, like, we're just expect Red Bull to win every race this year and next year.
Yeah.
And
Lewis is joining Ferrari next year, but it's mostly to get accustomed to the team and the car and how they operate before the new car in 2026. So it's just like, I'm sitting here like, you mean to tell me that I need to strap in for just this, just the same results every single race for the next year and a half?
I mean, it's possible.
It's like it's like when COVID started, and everyone was like, "Oh, just 2 weeks. You're just gonna be home for 2 weeks." But they knew it was gonna be longer.
Yeah,
that's what's happening. They should just sit. Just say it to me now. Hey, Casey. Max is going to win every single race of the next 40 races. He's going to win almost all of them unless something bad happens to his car. Just letting you know now that that's the other teams are preparing for this. Everyone is just ready for this to be how it is. Just say that. Just come out and say this. That's what I want at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like they kind of are. I feel like the commentators are, but the teams aren't being like, well, we're giving up for now and we're focusing on 2026 instead because that's our best chance of a comeback. Mm-hmm. And maybe they aren't, but I feel like once it hits next year, that's going to be the mindset.
Yeah,
because that's kind of all they can do.
After Bahrain next year, they're going to be like, hey, and yeah. Now we'll say it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My next note, Leclerc in first.
Yeah.
Charles was leading the race.
There were a lot of lead changes in this race, which made it particularly confusing. There were just a lot of strategy calls. There was a lot of undercut calls. Like the whole race was a game of undercuts, basically.
Yeah, and I'm getting more tired by the lap as this race is going on.
And again, it was 2 a.m. for me, so I was falling asleep.
My next note, Sainz overtakes Russell. This is why I tune in.
I think that was the overtake that was like, there are a few overtakes this race that were kind of crazy. I think Checo had some overtakes that were just like at a weird part of the track that the commentators pointed out.
Yeah.
He did a few there. I think the Sainz one was like another sort of fast getting past.
Yeah,
Russell,
if I remember,
thing.
I mean, I wrote, this is why I tune in. So I must have gotten a
must
big pop out
good.
Of me.
It must have been good,
listeners. This overtake, look it up. Go online. Go to YouTube.com. Search Sainz overtakes Russell. This is why I tune in. And you should see what I'm talking about somewhere. My next note after that, Alonso overtakes Lewis. This is bad.
Yeah. They were just slowly sliding down the ranks there.
Yeah, Lewis was, I just said it. Like, that car sucks. Not fast.
Yeah.
And Toto wasn't even going to come to Japan, and then he was for team morale.
They
all know the car sucks.
I also like that. I feel like Mercedes has started using their director of communications more for race, like for contact during the races, which I've just found like no other team has that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you have this like other guy kind of talking as a proxy for Toto, which I think is really funny.
This is such a silly sport, I must say.
We went from Toto calling the race director to yell at him in 2021 to now him not talking to anyone during the race.
My next note, Alpine telling Ocon to push, and he says he is pushing, and I see he is in second to last, only ahead of his teammate. That's why I tune in. That Alpine team.
They're a true mess.
Like, I know we were just talking about maybe Williams is bad, but Alpine is really bad. I don't think anyone expected them to be this bad.
I don't either. I sometimes during these recordings pull up the like live coverage, essentially like live blogging that the F1 site does during races. And I scrolled past a note that's just titled Alpine fading lap 29 out of 53. So like, that's just really sad if you have to write that about a team that they're fading.
They gotta bring back Otmar. I think he's the secret sauce. I think he knows something.
Yeah.
That everyone else in that garage doesn't know.
I would agree.
He took like a nut. He took like a lug nut with him that they really need on that car.
No, he actually. Well, he took a nut from Kick Sauber, and that's what's causing their slow pit stops. How has that not been fixed? I don't understand still a thing.
That's really crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Just buy it. Yeah, buy
a new gun.
A gun. How much is a gun? A tire gun, I must say.
Are you looking it up?
No, I'm not, but I'm going to guess a good one, a really high-end one for Formula One racing, like $900.
Well, you're wrong.
Was it $5,000?
Worse, it says there's one called the Hurricane 2.0 for around $10,000.
Oh,
but F1 wheel guns can cost upwards of $20,000 to $30,000.
Why?
With all the add-ons that the team will make.
Why?
Well, no.
This whole sport is a money laundering scheme.
But you can buy an impact wrench from Amazon for like $40 if you wanted to go that route instead.
We should get one, and we should get a tire, and we should get some nuts, and see if we could do it faster than
on whose car?
Kicksauber. Well, we got to get a tire and a wheel.
Oh, but not the car.
No, yeah, we don't need a Formula One car, but we could probably get tires and wheels somewhere.
I was fully assuming you meant like in the HeadGum Studio driveway lot.
Yeah, let's do it on
like someone on like Marty's car.
Marty's G-Wagon. Let's do it on Marty's G-Wagon.
Yeah, he doesn't need those tires.
If that's something, if that's some content you'd like to see, listener.
If you want to see us steal Marty's hubcaps, let us know.
Yes, please let us know. If you would turn into like a premium live stream of this, let us know. My next note. Leclerc goes wide, has to pit with Lando. Leclerc pulls out first, caught up with Russell. Lando loses a place to Russell. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that was
maybe
a fun
the
little
most
moment.
Exciting part of the race to me.
Yeah.
That was really good. There's a lot of like little great moments in this race, I must say.
Yeah, because it was so much of like everyone else outside of Max having to do little undercut strategies.
Yeah.
So there were just lots of pit stops and lots of overtakes at a track that is known for not many overtakes, I think.
Yeah, a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the front of the.
And it was actually.
There, yeah, there were some lead changes, but it was never really in doubt that Max was going to lose this race.
Well, for me, for a moment, yes. And then about two laps later, I was like, never mind. But I think there was so much going on in this race that I found it confusing to watch at 2 a.m. mm-hmm. and was like, I don't really know what has happened. But looking back yeah. at it, it's pretty good.
Like, yeah.
I love a non-injury invoking crash mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah, I never want to see anyone get hurt. That sucks.
Never want to see anyone get hurt. But if a car gets hurt, it's kind of funny.
If a car gets hurt, it's kind of funny. My next note. Lando overtakes Russell. This rocks.
Yeah. Any moment where Russell got overtaken, to be honest, yeah, I was having a good time.
I always like to see George get overtaken.
Because I was really worried about him battling with Hamilton. I was like, I don't need for this to happen. I don't need George's little annoying voice to come over mm-hmm. the radio and be like,
only pretty good.
Are we fighting or what?
That was only pretty good. It was great, George.
Yeah.
I'd say it was great.
So ultimately, happy to avoid that and happy to watch him get passed by a lot of people that I like more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the key. If it's a guy I like more, I'm going to be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a guy I like less, then I'm rooting for George. And who do I like less than George? The Alpines. Lance Stroll. That's probably the group of guys at the bottom of the guys I like.
The guys. Speaking of Lance Stroll, his radio message.
Oh, my God.
Towards the end of this race. Truly iconic.
I'll pull it up. All right, I got the audio here. So this is Lance Stroll's radio message during the race.
The way I laughed at this in that moment, an absolute gift.
I'm not laughing at him. I'm laughing with him.
I am. I'm laughing at him. He's on my team, but I'm laughing at him. Because his voice cracked.
Look,
like a
it's
little,
a scary
like a little
thing,
kid.
Driving a car so fast, you know? It's scary. Your voice is going to crack.
It was a beautiful moment. Like, never heard his voice that high.
I've never heard him sound like this.
Ever. I was like, who's talking right now? It was Lance Stroll. Yeah, honestly, probably the highlight of my race.
It was really good.
Incredible, yeah.
I gotta know what he was doing in the car to sound like that. What was going on that made his voice go up so high? Did he see a ghost?
It looks, at the video that I'm seeing, it looks like he was just on a straight, which is really funny. But
so
I found,
maybe he wasn't scared. Maybe he was just crying.
Maybe. I found an article. Stroll reveals reason behind bizarre Japan radio call. It says, reflecting on radio call, Stroll pointed to the different specification of rear wing he and Alonso were running as the culprit. It's really tough with the straight line speed. So maybe he was on the straight.
Mm-hmm.
But no explanation of why his voice cracked.
Yeah, like he didn't understand why he was being asked that question. It wasn't about, like, technically what was behind that message.
Right.
I'm sure they were asking, like, why'd you sound like that, man?
Were you crying?
Were you crying?
Let us know.
If Lance Stroll was crying while driving a race car, that would actually make him be my favorite race car driver.
Yeah, I mean, I do think back a lot to him, like, passing out in his car that one race as he was driving. And I'm like, it's not funny that it happened, but it's a funny image to think back on.
Yeah.
It's like, ultimately, this guy was asleep at the wheel at one point.
All right, my next note. Didn't really fall asleep, but I closed my eyes for a while. And then my next note after that, I did fall asleep.
Yeah, I did the close my eyes for a while. And then after the race, I was like, I'll get ready for bed. And then that took me 30 minutes. I don't know why I was just taking my time. I didn't even try to go to sleep immediately. I was like, well, I'll definitely floss my teeth, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I'll definitely use two different types of mouthwash. I'll wash my face. I'll do my whole skincare routine.
You do two mouthwashes?
Sometimes. I have prescription strength fluoride. It's a whole thing.
Oh, okay. Do you do like one before the brush and then one after, or is it, are they?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Also, one of the mouthwashes I have has an ingredient that has been shown to eliminate the COVID virus if it is in your throat, whatever. So I use that just in case, to be a little cautious.
Sure. I think I use Total. Or Act, something like that.
Those are two brands for sure.
I got the one I went online and said which is the mouthwash that dentists say to use, and it's whatever it is. If you Google,
if a dentist says to use it, you're gonna use it.
If you Google which mouthwash most dentists say is like the good one, that's the one I have. Act or Total or something. Not Listerine. My final note, Logan in the gravel trap.
Yeah, he really flubbed it, like, in the last few minutes.
Yeah, you know, going off track. He didn't hit the wall. He was able to reverse and get back in that race and finish last. But, hey, at least he finished.
He did finish, and he was doing okay for the race. I just remember, like, that incident is what
he
set
was
him.
Doing okay.
He was like in 14th before
three
that.
People had to leave the race.
He wasn't last.
And the only other team that sucks, Alpine, was in last behind him. So, hey, yeah, he was doing okay.
I was trying to give him a flower, at least.
A petal.
Yeah. Also, that incident caused problems for Alonso and Piastri, which is kind of funny. That, like, because at that point, you know, they were.
Yeah.
I think maybe that, like, yellow flag, that sector or something.
Yeah, they had to slow down.
Yeah.
As Logan backs up, back onto the track, and the car is covered in dust. And then he drives off. And, from that point on, the race for me was, like, it was all pretty, like, set. Like, everyone was pretty far apart from each other. There was an inkling of a battle for, like, ninth. But ultimately nothing really happened. And then Max won and Checo got second and Carlos Sainz once again on a podium.
My guy, my dude. And that was it.
That was it. That was the race. And here at the Pit Wall, when we watch something, we rate it. If we like it, it's a push-push. If we don't like it, it's a box-box. Marika, what would you give the Japanese Grand Prix of 2024?
I'm going to give it a push-push, I think. I don't really want to be... I don't want to give it a push-box, so I'll give it a push-push. It was enjoyable. It was interesting to watch. It wasn't just a cut and dry, everyone stays in the same place kind of race. There was interesting strategy calls. And that's all I can really ask for at this point. I would have loved if it was at 9 a.m. Or if I had chosen to watch it at 9 a.m. instead of doing it after I watched SNL, after I watched The Outsiders musical, and after I watched The Great Gatsby musical. But that was my own, a hell of my own making.
Yeah, well, is it hell or is it heaven? Because I'm gonna go push push also, and and ultimately it's because I had a pretty good Saturday.
So you're rating your Saturday. About.
I had a pretty good day. I go home, I get to watch a race and fall asleep during it. It's what watching racing is all about.
Yeah. I saw a musical adaptation of one of my favorite books. Afterwards, a bunch of shirtless guys were sticking their heads out of their dressing rooms, yelling at everyone on the street below. It was a beautiful Saturday night. I couldn't have asked for anything more. And then I went home and I said, I'll watch my two favorite TV shows, SNL and also Formula One. And then I went to sleep.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Hottie of the week.
This is a hard one. I know who my little bitch of the week of the day is, but I was honestly kind of surprised that I think Charles got driver of the day.
I don't remember.
I believe he did. There was like actually a race for driver of the day, if that makes sense. Like, at one point it was like Charles, I think Checo, maybe Lando or something. Like, there were three, and then the next time it popped up, Carlos was up into the third spot, and I was like, oh, it's getting interesting. But I mean, I'm gonna give it to the tire wall, I think, because the crash looked really cool when all the tires went flying. And hey, that's a safety precaution. So good. Yeah. They did their job. Doing your job good is hot for sure.
It's hot.
And they also, they did it with a little flair and pizzazz, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good. I've been leaning Carlos. Like, I think Carlos is the hottest driver there is right now.
That's fair. Can I pitch an alternate Hottie of the Week for you specifically?
Sure, yes.
The Ferris wheel.
The Ferris wheel.
I'm just saying, you wrote a note about it.
I wrote a note about how I want to ride the Ferris wheel. That's right.
Yeah.
But then after that, I kind of stopped thinking about it.
I'm just saying, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I'll give it to the Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
The mainstay. Gotta love that Ferris wheel. Little bitch of the day.
The team of Williams.
The team of Williams.
That's mine.
Just to change it up, because I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Alpine. The team of Alpine. It's a real race to the bottom between those guys.
Yeah, they are doing bad. They're doing a bad job.
They're doing bad. Oh, also the thing that we hadn't talked about with Daniel Ricciardo and Red Bull and Yuki and Checo's seat how Daniel was given an ultimatum. He have to perform better than Yuki. And he what the hell? Get a little bubble popping up on my screen. With a thumbs up. He didn't finish the race. He crashed out on the first lap, and Yuki got a point. And I don't know. I think Daniel's days are numbered.
The grin on my face right now. I saw Liam Lawson in the back, standing behind Daniel Ricciardo after the red flag.
Yeah.
In the garage, and I was like, he's coming for you, man. He's coming for you.
But that was that. It's almost staged how they get those shots. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah. Fantasy standings. I changed my team this week. I changed my team. I do believe I think I put myself into a hole, though. I'm going to have to dig myself out. Although, I think Pyle, just in terms of our pit wall league, Pyle has been using his
little card thingies. Yeah, his
little
chips.
The little chips that give you like bonus points. I haven't used any of them.
I haven't either.
I've still held on to them.
Yeah,
and he has like a 300 point lead on me.
That's true. For ours, Pyle's number one. Jeff is still number two. It sucks. It sucks to see. I'm third. Casey's fourth. I keep having to change my team and go into a point deficit because of it. So I'm always starting minus 10 or minus 20, but I'm mostly back where I want to be. I had a big switch up that fucked me over during the race that Max DNF'd, but hey, we're getting there. We really are. We're getting there. For the public league, Scalderia Ferchari in first place, Hokies VT second, the Haas of Horrors third, and fourth, Brain Dead, but spelled DAID. In fifth, Cargo Fastest. Sixth, Creamers. Seventh, Otmar Strauss, which is Pyle. He got up there.
Wow.
And to be clear, this week he used his Limitless Changes one. So, and his entire team was all of Red Bull and then all of Ferrari. So just consider that.
Hey, we all get to do it.
We all get to do it. should have done it this time, and I did not. 8th is Best in Slot. 9th is Mode Push Me to My Limits. And 10th is Visa Cash App Wild Whiskers. Congrats on the points. And also, if I may say, speaking of fantasy sports, I won our little basketball one, I believe. Our March Madness one. I believe all of those games are over, right? They all happened?
There's one more tonight. The all national right. championship is tonight. The men's right. national
well,
championship.
It's going to be UConn, and then I'm going to win.
Wow.
And even if it's not, I'm still going to win because I have the most points.
Yeah, I stopped paying attention after the
you're
first
at
weekend.
The bottom. You're kinda, at the bottom.
Yeah, my bracket got busted pretty badly pretty early.
Yeah. I am first. I have 1,180 points. Jake's in second behind me with 1,080. So,
does he have any chances of the champions? Either of his two teams.
He does, but I have the same picks.
Okay.
So,
well, congrats.
Thank you. I haven't watched a single game.
Ever in your life.
Not even the basketball games that I played in eighth grade. I wasn't watching those.
That's the Japanese Grand Prix. And if you liked hearing us talk about the Japanese Grand Prix, you're going to love hearing us talk about the Chinese Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Which is next, right?
In 2 weeks, the 21st.
Okay, well, then we'll talk about Drive to Survive until then.
Yeah.
Hey, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PitWallPod. Slide into our DM, send us a quick cue. We'd love to read it. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you can rate this dang show. Give us a rating. What else? What other calls to action can I give you? Email Formula One telling them that they should let us, I don't know, do
go
the grid walk
places.
Let us yeah. host the grid walk.
I don't think we'd be good at it, but I would be good at finding people to talk to. I'd be like, oh, yeah. I know who that minor celebrity is. We should go yeah. hit them up.
Yeah.
And so I'd like that job.
Yeah, I'll do that. Or you can message, I don't know, Miami. Message the people in
message
Austin.
Message the city of Miami.
Message the city of Miami. Just to let us... Just let us ride the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, we'll do Ferris wheel coverage.
So rate us 5 stars on Apple and Spotify and find a contact for someone at Formula One and tell them to let us ride the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting race coverage because for a while we won't be able to see anything.
Yeah, we won't really be able to see
but then
all.
We'd be able to see everything.
We'll see everything.
And it'll just keep going like that. So it'll be a lot
yeah,
of vamping.
Yeah, we have to be on the whole race. That's the yeah. thing. They gotta let us do it the whole time.
And if it gets
and
stuck,
I think it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. They're probably not the safest Ferris wheels. They're probably a little wobbly. Probably, you know, the wind could be bad. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, but I don't see a Ferris wheel falling over at a Formula One race. I feel like if it does, like the amount of rich people would be able to sue.
Yeah,
it'd be worth it.
We'll get Otmar to come back. He's gonna steal some nuts from the Ferris wheel for
us. It'll crash.
Yeah,
I'll finally be able to get a genetically modified hip installed.
Right.
I will start to become, you know, a dream
cyborg.
Sort of cyborg, cyberpunk kind of guy, mm-hmm. which I think will be really fun.
Yeah.
if we get in a Ferris wheel crash.
Yeah. I guess I'll just take whatever life gives me. If I go, then I go.
Yeah.
But I'd like to get money from it.
Ultimately, if we go, ultimately, if Otmar takes the wrong nuts and we don't fall over, but instead start to roll down the track.
That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool. You must admit, listeners, that would be pretty cool.
I think we have some good ideas, and I think we can accomplish them. If you just send a little email to the city of Miami.
Send an email to Miami, let them know.
Tell them to build a Ferris wheel.
Build a Ferris wheel, let us ride it.
So we can go on it.
And we promise everything will be fine.
Yeah, say those exact things.
That's all we ask.
And let us know.
And let us know. We'll be talking about Drive to Survive episodes 7 and 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nearing the end.
Nearing the end. And then once we cover all of the episodes of Drive to Survive, I can once again go back to not being a Netflix subscriber. Can't wait to cancel that subscription.
Yeah, fair.
But until then, vroom vroom to all and to all of Beep Beep. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.